This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left in a tight formation. Brady swings the pass right with Green on the run to the 25-20. Green in a foot race. He's on his way to the end zone. He has a Patriots touchdown.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots wrap up the regular season at home against the Buffalo Bills.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Prince to the end zone. Oh. And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone. Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome indeed. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo with you. We're minus the man who steers the ship, Andy Hart.
You know how I knew that?
Mark, the Beatle, well, because my microphone was on at the start.
And there
of the show.
Wasn't like a 10-minute pause between the music winding down and him starting the show?
One of the three hosts does not have pants on right now.
That'd be me.
Mark the Beatle Bertrand is not with us today, and congratulations to the Beatle clan. He and his wife, Erin, welcomed twin boys to the world yesterday, Andy Hart. So a couple extra Beatles running around. So obviously we will not be joined by Mark today for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and the Xbox postgame show as well. But Andy and I will get you through the Buffalo Bills for the final regular season version of the pregame social this week. Interesting game, not necessarily in terms of ramifications or standing seedings. Nothing to be gained by either team. Buffalo is eliminated. They're playing for pride only and the possibility of a winning season. Conversely, the Patriots are trying to get themselves prepared, Andy, for the divisional round, and I would imagine the next hour and 58 minutes are going to be spent trying to determine what would be the best course of action for the Patriots.
Sure, and there will be some debate because there's already people, media people even, tweeting out, oh, I wouldn't play Brady or Gronk at all today, makes no blah, blah, blah. And then there's other people that expect Bill to sort of do what he's done and play them and see how it goes, sort of monitor it as like a preseason game, and if they perform well, if it could go one way, if they don't, how does he handle it? And as I've joked all week, you know, there is another team on the other side of the football that has something to say with it. You can't just say, I'm going to play Brady six snaps or, you know, if he gets sacked and there's a strip sack, you know, that's a good front they're going against. 50 sacks. That's,
exactly.
They can make life hard on you. And I know they're without Marcell Dareus, but, you know, they still got Big M, Mario Williams, as Bill Belichick calls him. So I do think it's interesting. Quickly, just, we have some early flutters of news off the Twitter
feed. Yeah, why don't you
throw
some of those out there as we get the table set.
Hashtag PPGS if you want to join in the Twitter chat, or hashtag follow everything, at Jumbo Hart for me. But a couple stories of the morning. First came word from Jason Lockenfora and CBS Sports that Josh McDaniels expected to be a candidate in both Atlanta and San Francisco for the head coaching job there. Interestingly, he is expected to kind of vie for those jobs with your guy, Adam Gase, the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos. So they're both teams apparently looking for maybe offensive minds to bring in to their potential head coaching openings, which as of right now aren't technically head coach openings. And then the biggest one from Adam Schefter just came up within the minutes, I would say, is the word that the Patriots have signed Nick Caserio to an extension through 2020, believed to be the longest front office contract in the National Football League. Everybody is reacting a certain way, and I don't really understand it, saying, well, now he's off the market. If he's off the market, he signed a terrible contract. If he doesn't have the ability to get out of this contract, to go to a place to be, you know, the actual head of football operations, the president, whatever you would call it,
right,
then he has signed a terrible contract. Because while he's here, unless Bill knows something I don't know, he is going to be beneath Bill Belichick on the depth chart or the work chart, the workflow of how decisions are made in this organization. And I would think that he would be able to get out from underneath that for a promotion to the decision maker, the football decision maker in another organization. But apparently this deal has been done for a while, been sort of in the drawer and no one knew about it.
Which is usually the way it happens in
yes.
New England.
I also did find it interesting, just for poops and giggles, as they say, does that technically mean we now know that Bill doesn't have a contract that runs through 2020 if Nick Cassero has the longest contract? Can we assume that?
No, I wouldn't assume that other people are considering Bill Belichick a front office person.
How?
Because he's the head coach.
And but he's also the GM.
I agree. I understand that. But his title is as that of head coach. So my guess is they're
as
not counting
say,
him as a front office personnel.
Titles are fine. Nothing wrong with them.
And that's why he doesn't care that he's not considered the general manager.
You need to go by what the reality is, and the reality is he runs the front office of the New England Patriots.
Well, you answer your own question for yourself. Pull a Mike Felger, ask a question, answer it yourself. Do you think that people are considering him a front office personnel so you can make that logical assumption that he's not?
Didn't Ben Volen write something how he should be executive of the year? I only read the Twitter feed. I didn't read the actual
story.
Well,
I saw some of the story. I didn't read the story, but I saw some of the
I mean, if he's executive of the year, then he should be considered an executive.
No, we understand that he is the guy who's responsible
for
acquiring
talent. Don't get mouthy
with
me early in this two-man show.
Yeah, well, you're well on your way here, and Andy will be leaving us shortly to go do his regular hit. So. This is a good time for you guys to get involved in the show early on. Webradio@patriots.com, always the tried and true method via email. Webradio@patriots.com. Also, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. So, all kinds of different ways. Andy already brought up the Twitter nonsense that you guys like to participate in every week, but make sure you put a hashtag PPGS so we can get those really quick, and Andy will have them read off for everybody, and that way the more people participate, the better our show is.
Especially when we're down a voice.
And chances are this
not
is
that it was a real relevant voice.
One interesting thing today, you know, for the SID kind of notes that I sometimes find tiresome, Andy Hart.
There's a lot of them today. A lot of streaks on the line.
There's a million of them, and a couple of our emailers are pointing out the fact that Brady can become the winningest quarterback with one team. In history, this could be the 161st win with one team, which would be the most, according to Michael, most in history.
Hope he doesn't retire. Remember when Lou Holtz did that because he didn't want to pass somebody, Newt Rockne or something?
Is that true? I never heard that.
It was in my head. I don't know if it really is. I believe that's what the part of the story was. He left Notre Dame because he didn't think he was worthy.
Also a chance, Andy, to...
Google it, somebody.
To go unbeaten at home again, which would be for the second straight year and the seventh time in the franchise. But they've all happened, not surprisingly, under Brady's watch.
What are you reading from?
A tweet from the Patriots. 03, I just wanted to get the right years rather than do it off the top of my head and miss one, which I am wont to do. 03, 4, 7, 9, 10, 13, and this would be the seventh time.
That hurt. Right here.
What's 03, 04, 07, 09, 10, 13, 14 if they do it today.
But they also have, what is it, the 35-game AFC home regular season winning streak, a 17-game
now you're getting into the
AFC East home regular season winning streak, a lifetime winning streak at Gillette Stadium against the Bills.
Yeah, they've never lost at Gillette Stadium to the Bills.
There's a lot of them. Gostkowski can become the first or one of the few kickers to lead the league in points for like three straight years.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
You see what happens when you start getting into the minutia?
Especially off the top of your head.
Right. That's why I was reading it off a tweet.
Nice
from the
tweets.
Patriots. From the Patriots, as Bob Soucy would say.
In terms of NFL news, by the way, beyond the obvious last games of the season and people getting in and out of the postseason.
Yeah, a lot of playoff ramifications today elsewhere.
The Jim Harbaugh drama just continues to play out where... Some say he's already basically the coach of Michigan. Michigan people are in San Francisco. They're going to negotiate tonight. Others say he hasn't signed a deal. Maybe he's just using this as leverage to get more money. It's still, you know, that reported six-year, $49 million contract. But obviously the 49ers and the Jets are sort of the two first shoes to fall in the coaching carousel because reportedly Rex Ryan has already cleaned out his office. And
yeah, he's told friends he expects to be fired and has already started removing items from his desk, according to our buddy Rich Zimini, who's periodically a guest on our shows. I wanted to get back to your Luck and Fora report about Josh McDaniels, Andy, and I wanted to get your thoughts on those two jobs specifically, San Francisco and Atlanta. You know, in the past, Josh has sort of been thrown in the mix for some jobs that haven't necessarily been all that attractive, in my opinion. Cleveland was one last year that he supposedly removed himself from. These jobs look like they're those are two pretty attractive jobs to me.
Oh, yeah,
for different reasons.
Teams that have been the number one seed in the NFC within the last 3 or 4 years, both of them, obviously, San Francisco, three straight NFC title games. I said to you, I would package myself with Rex Ryan and go to Atlanta.
And it would be Atlanta because?
I think you have receivers, quarterback. I think you assume Rex Ryan's going to make the defense, which is bad, better. And I think Matt Ryan can win in this league. I don't think Colin Kaepernick can, and it, you know, despite the fact that he was 6 inches from a Super Bowl title, I would not want, and we just joked earlier, you know, Josh goes to San Francisco and the first thing he does is get rid of Colin Kaepernick on that team-friendly deal, sort of like he did
the
in
Jay
Denver.
Thing.
I would not want to be tied to Colin Kaepernick. I wouldn't mind being tied to Matt Ryan. And if Rex Ryan's with me, I feel like, you know, a lot of people have said maybe Rex Ryan is the head coach in Atlanta because of those reasons. He can fix the defense, and there's already an offensive core in place.
Right, and if he could have even a guy like Marty Morningway go with him,
right,
you know, he might have something there.
Which is probably what Atlanta. Rex Ryan is thinking, so probably in my scenario would be hard for Josh to say, Rex, come with me, you be the DC, I'll be the HC.
That would only be if Rex didn't have any offers. But I wouldn't just take any offer if I were Rex, too.
Nope.
You know, I wouldn't take Chicago.
Well, they're
both. I wouldn't hitch my wagon to Jay Cutler.
Josh, you're the second job. You know, you got to tiptoe into it.
Right.
And Rex, I think you want to be careful you don't go down the Eric Mangini road of just jumping at the next job.
Right.
And now you look, Eric Mangini's a tight ends coach who isn't really on the head coaching radar anymore.
Correct. And I the biggest reason, and I think that you believe this, but you didn't mention it specifically, more so than the Matt Ryan, Colin Kaepernick thing to me, is I don't want to have to butt heads with Seattle if I don't have to. I can take that division, which is an awful division right now, and we know that they're cyclical. They won't be this bad always. But if I can go to Atlanta and take that team over, and all of a sudden I can win two or three division titles in a row, that's a huge advantage.
I mean, win eight games, you win the division.
You know, that's a huge advantage to have. If I can become a 12-win team, I can probably win that division, whereas if I win 12 with San Francisco, that may not be enough, depending on the tiebreakers and, you know, who knows. Seattle's certainly capable of winning 13. So that to me would be hard to pass up.
Plus, San Francisco just seems like there's the potential for a lot of issues there, not just with Kaepernick, but you have Alden Smith, you have Justin Smith retiring, you know, you have a young owner who may or may not really know what he's doing and be comfortable in his role with the team. San Francisco, as much as it looks like a great job because you've been to three straight NFC title games, I'd have a lot of questions about that.
I have a quick little story I want to tell you.
Make it quick. I got to go to 98 Pride.
From John in Pennsylvania. He wanted to tell us a story about his dog. He's one of those little wired-haired terriers, and we named him Andy. Andy was getting out of control, always going to wild, trying to tear into the email man when he came by to deliver the email. We were getting tired of it, so we called the local dog whisperer to see if he could help. After a few visits, Mark Beadle, that's the dog whisperer's name, seemed to be getting some results. I was listening to the post-game show, and the email man came by. Mark Beadle started to read one of the emails, and little Andy immediately started to tear into it. I didn't see what happened, but Mark Beadle must have given Andy a sign or something because Andy went silent, just completely shut down. After a very short pause, Mark Beadle continued to read the email to completion, and Andy acted like a normal, well-behaved dog. I was shocked and elated. I just wanted to let you all know that because many people have dogs like Andy, and the dog whisperers like Mark Beadle are true miracle workers. If you mention this to your listeners, I think it may help them. Thank you, John, and I hope you enjoyed your Christmas because this was something that came in before Christmas, and he was wishing us all a happy
holiday. I have
been
known to hump an occasional leg. So.
Oh, jeez.
Got to go.
All right, so Andy's going to go and do his hit on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Just going to read a quick email here from Sam as he goes and does that. So Sam is going to her first Patriots game today. Fortunate enough for her uncle, got four tickets for the family to go see the game against the Bills. We got the last-minute call, and, of course, we said yes. I am so excited. My heart felt like exploding. This is going to be my very first Patriots game, and I can't wait. We're diehard Pats family. That's watched every game. Big fan of you guys as well. Love to hear you guys talk about Patriots football from a loyal Pats fan girl. Sam, enjoy yourself today. It's a nice, reasonably warm day, which is really nice. A little bit rainy out there, but I think the rain's probably going to hold off well enough. And I hope that you have a great time today at your first Patriots game. And while I let Andy go and do his hit on 98.5 The Sports Hub, I'm going to switch gears and head over to the Ace Ticket Hotline. And as is a normal custom here, when Beatles not in the a-hole chair, it's going to be leading off with Jeff in Vegas. Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Doing great.
So am I. It's winding down here. It's kind of nice having the pressure be off and not have anything at stake for us, at least.
No, that's for sure. There's nothing on the line here at this game today. Some personal incentives for individual players, but beyond that, no seeding to be had, no playoff spots to be won, just a ho-hum season finale.
Yeah, well, personal best for Patriot players is completely irrelevant because we know that New England never, tries to help a player reach a record or plateau.
Yeah, you better not pay attention today then because I think you'll be seeing that won't be the case.
Yes, and speaking of the weather, it's actually about 37 chilly Vegas degrees. So you guys are about 10 degrees warmer.
Yeah, it's pretty mild here today. It's been a pretty mild December altogether, but specifically Christmas week has been really warm.
Interesting. And with regard to Castillo's extension, it makes me think to Thomas Dimitrioff a bit. Is he, even though I think they're still mathematically in contention, is he on the way out? Like,
oh, yeah. No, if they win today, they win the division. But I think that whole regime is going to get overturned. They have already reportedly hired a search committee, a head coach search committee, in the event that they should be looking for one, I think was the way that the report was written by Adam Schefter. So, yeah, I think that whole Mike Smith, Thomas Dimitrioff, they're probably going to be looking for work shortly.
Yeah, and as well they should, in my view. Back to today, do you think this game means anything to Buffalo, Paul? I mean, are they just going to be looking at players, or do they really want to break that streak and get a win at New England?
I can definitely see them, fostering up some intensity to go 9-7. They haven't had a winning season for a long time. I think there's something to be said if they could not only get a winning season but beat the Patriots in Foxborough. That said, I think they'll know that they'll have beaten a Patriots team that's not playing for anything and it won't be the same. So I think there's a chance that this could go either way. I think either Buffalo shows up and plays a really hard-fought game the way the Jets did last week, or I could see them just tucking tail and saying it doesn't matter anyway because the Patriots weren't playing for anything, so even if we win the game, it doesn't matter. No one's going to take us seriously, and they might just get rolled today.
How much?
So I could see it either way.
How much, Jimmy? Three quarters, do you think?
I think maybe a half. I don't know. It depends. I do think that what's different about this in a preseason game is that in the preseason you go in with a number of snaps in your head. Bill Belichick knows he wants to play Brady 12 snaps, 15 snaps, 18 snaps. Today, I think he wants to see them perform cohesively. I think he wants to see some improvement up front. I think he probably wants to see some consistent offense and not the three and outs that we've seen early in games. So if they struggle and stammer their way through a quarter and a half, I think Brady's going to stay in the game. But if they play really well and maybe put two touchdown drives on the board in the first quarter, that could be it. And then you see a lot of Jimmy.
Right on, Paul. Well, speaking of peak performance, that's going to segue us into the Jets and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
As far as the number on this game, open like New England, like -8, and then once they clinched after the Monday night game, it went down to New England -5.5. It dipped down to -5. Now it's swinging back to around -6-ish. So that's kind of a sign. Looks like some smart money is coming in on New England before kickoff. I'm just gonna say, hey, it's gonna be one of those good old games. Do a victory lap after the game.
Yeah.
I think one way or another, I think New England is gonna perform. I think Bill's gonna get after it. I know he put them in pads earlier in the week, right?
Yeah, they were in pads for one of their practices this week. Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? Just not a big play. Maybe about a 500 or so star. Give the points, take the pads, lock it in.
All right, Jeff. Thanks. I would have to. I think the Patriots are going to end up winning this game handily today, but I know that's not the foremost on anyone's thoughts today. It's more along the lines of keeping everybody healthy. Let's see what Matthew in Connecticut has to say.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
What's going on, Matthew?
Hey, I just want to maybe enlighten a few fellow Patriots fans out there.
Okay, enlighten us all.
Reading a report that it's obvious now the Jets are looking for a new general manager. And from what Ian Rappaport was reporting, the general manager's name was not given, but he was driven away scared because of Geno Smith.
Okay.
Like, he did not want to take the job strictly because of Smith there. He said that quarterback position, I don't want to deal with it. And then
Yeah, I mean, that's why they had such a hard time filling the job that Idzik took in the first place, is because they didn't have a quarterback in place, and Woody Johnson wanted them to keep Rex Ryan, and the new GM didn't necessarily want to agree to that. And yeah, that's been a hard sell for the Jets, is to try to find someone who wants to take that general manager's job, because in this league, if you don't have at least serviceable play, I mean, we pick at guys like Andy Dalton and you know, players like that, Joe Flacco. Those guys are so much better than, you know, say the you know, Geno Smiths of the world, or Tampa Bay situation with Mike Glennon. And, you know, you can't win any games with those guys. You know, Blaine Gabbert in the last few years, Jake Locker in Tennessee. If you have serviceable quarterback play, at least you can win some games if you have a good team. If you don't even have serviceable play at quarterback, you can't win anything. And right now that's where the Jets are. They don't have serviceable play at quarterback. That's why they're the 32nd ranked passing offense in football.
Yeah, and looking at it, you know, if they lost, you know, at Tennessee, you know, maybe that could have sparked general manager to come in saying, okay, you know, now we have a higher pick. Maybe we can, you know, I can get a quarterback in here, you know what I'm saying, out of the draft, whether it be, you know, a Jameis Winston or whoever else. But, I don't know, hopefully the Jets stay in the best disarray.
Well, that's what it looks like. It's going to happen, Matthew, and thank you for the call. Listen, the Jets situation is something we'll probably talk about during the offseason when we're looking at the AFC East. But right now, I think we're focusing a little bit more on, you know, what the next couple of weeks are going to have in store for the Patriots, and, you know, figuring out who they're going to play. I think we'll get probably get a schedule from the NFL tonight to find out what time slot. We won't find out who the Patriots are playing, but we'll find out what the time slot will be in 2 weeks. See if they're playing back in that Saturday night slot that they seem to get almost every year, or if the game will be played on Sunday at some point. Let's go to Montreal. We'll go to Montreal, and we'll talk to Carl. Carl, how are you?
Hey, happy holidays, man.
You too. Thank you. Right back at you.
You know what? First on the schedule thing, the fact that last year they usually flip-flop, so expect the first week the AFC will have a Saturday night game, and the second week the second Saturday will be the NFC. So we're going to probably be the Sunday at 4:30, which I hate because you lose an extra day for the for the following week. Now, I'm very confident with this team. I just have one question. The urgency to win this year is very important, because I don't think Darrelle Revis at $25 million against the cap is going to be back with this team. He's proven in the past that he goes after the money. So we have to win this year. We have the home field. You know, no key players are injured. Do you think they'd be better with Logan Mankins? Because I see the offensive line as the only thing that can keep us from winning the Super Bowl.
Well, the short answer to that is yes, I do think they'd be better with Logan Mankins. I think that if you put Conley or Stork or Wendell, whichever one of those three that you deem that you want to move, if you had one of those three off the bench in the event of an injury, I think you'd be in better shape. Now, that said, the offensive line has been periodically a problem in the playoffs over the last, say, 5 years, and Logan Mankins was part of those offensive lines. So I'm not going to just sit there and say that if Mankins were still here, that everything would magically be okay. I just didn't think it was a trade that had to be made. We talked to Miguel from the Pat's Cap. He's the foremost expert on the Patriots salary cap situation. It was his belief that they did need to make that trade in order to make the moves that they made during the course of the season, picking up Alan Branch and Akeem Ayers and Jonathan Casillas. His explanation, however, did not seem to indicate that those moves had to be made, would not have been able to be made based on all the incentives that are going to be kicking in next year for the cap. So there's some confusion there, some difference of opinion. But I do worry a little bit about the offensive line. I don't think that Revis is gone, by the way, Carl. I do think that there's a chance that they re-sign him. I don't think he'll be back on the contract as it is currently written. I don't think he'll have a $25 million hit next year, but I don't rule out the possibility of him re-signing.
Okay, one quick thing. You and Andy ripped me when I said that I don't think this defense really misses Gerard Mayo. Now, of course, he'd help it, but I just find that Jamie Collins and Dont'a Hightower, especially Hightower, are more dynamic when he's not there.
Yeah, can you tell me when we ripped you on that? Because neither Andy nor I are huge Gerard Mayo fans in terms of the playmaking ability and whatnot. We think we gained some playmaking ability with that loss. We both like Mayo a lot, but not necessarily sure that we would have been overly defensive of him.
Well,
you sure it wasn't Fred? Because Fred yells at us for that all the time.
Contract, and he's another guy that he's going to have that contract reshuffled.
I agree.
Because there's no way he's getting he's like $8 million a year or something like
that. Yeah, it's a very similar situation as last year with Mankins, in the last summer with Mankins. It's a big number. He'll probably be asked to take a cut or a restructure of some sort, and unlike Mankins, I think he'll take it. Thanks for the call, though, Carl. And I definitely don't remember ripping the point of view that would have Collins and Hightower offered more of a dynamic playmaking athleticism over Mayo. Andy's back from his stint at the Sports Hub, so it's nice to get him back as we head up to the first break here. Anything riveting that you want to share with us over that that talk? Did you yell at Tangway for anything?
A little bit, because, you know, he doesn't think Brady should play. And I said, I'm guessing you were the same guy who criticized the Colts and Tony Dungy for resting guys and then going one and done in the postseason. And he said, yeah, but this is different. And I go, yeah, because it's the Patriots and not the Colts. That's the only difference. Yeah, but this is he didn't really say why it was different. Oh, because Brady's a little older, and you know how it is.
Yeah, I also
consistency is not big in sports media.
I also like when they leave out the times that the Colts rested their starters and then they went to the Super Bowl, which happened twice. But, you know, what are you going to do? Let's get one more call in here quick here. Julian is in San Antonio. Next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays to y'all. Second time calling in. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yeah, I just wanted to ask y'all, since due to last week, how Kyle Arrington, LeGarrette Blount, and Julian Edelman, you know, didn't get some PT. What's their status on them as far as them playing today?
I would expect that Edelman and those guys that didn't play last week have a good chance to not play this week. I think you're going to see a good chunk of those injured guys not play, and I think they gave themselves a good reason to not play Vollmer and Browner and Collins by putting them on the injury report. And people took it hook, line, and sinker. I was listening to EEI the other night, and whoever the host was saying, oh, this is why you got to rest people. Look at this injury report. It's growing by the day. Yeah, it's growing by the day because they're deciding to put guys on the injury report.
Every day.
Right.
Well, on a happy note, I'm pretty happy. Well, I'm pretty excited to see Jimmy G do something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that gives you an opportunity something to really to watch this game for. The intriguing nature of the backup quarterback, an unknown. I think that's a reason to stick around and watch this game. Not that Patriots fans wouldn't watch it anyway. It's a regular season game, but I think that adds a little bit more than, say, you know, seeing, you know, your third year undrafted, you know, like Brian Hoyer. You don't really think of Brian Hoyer. You didn't really think of him as the future, whereas most people think Garoppolo is the future. So that gives you a reason to watch the second half today.
Exactly. Now, just one more quick question. Now, knowing that we have a first-round bye and whatnot, who do y'all think, in y'all's opinion, who do y'all think that we'll be playing, you know, in the playoffs the first game?
It's just so hard to pin it down.
Right.
You know, we don't know who's going to make the playoffs. I mean, it could be the winner of Cincinnati-Pittsburgh is the 3, and the loser is the 5. And then it could be San Diego or Baltimore, or even, you know, further down, Houston or Kansas City in the 6.
I'm assuming it's San Diego. That's a choke job. If the other team has to start Chase Daniels and you don't win, you choke.
They should have lost last year, if you remember, in that same situation at home. Kansas City missed a chip shot field goal that would have won the game. So it really could be anybody. Baltimore, I think, in that 6 spot would have a very good chance of beating the 3. And then you could play Baltimore if that were the case. But Baltimore has, like Andy just said, Baltimore needs help just to get in. So, my guess is that you're going to end up playing. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say Cincinnati. That's my guess. Because Cincinnati, I think, is going to be the 5. And I think they will go to Indianapolis and win. And you're going to end up playing Cincinnati. But that's just a complete stab in the dark.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, Happy New Year's to y'all. Merry Christmas to y'all and your family.
You too. Thank you, Julian. And, Andy, before we head up to our first break here, I know this game isn't necessarily huge in terms of the standings, but we will try to come up with some keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Well, I will start with, you know, so much of this game is going to be about matchups and personnel and playing time. I'm going to have a twofold one, John Dennis style here, and I'm going to start with the offensive line, whoever plays, and I'm guessing Solder's going to play because I'm guessing there's a good chance Vollmer may not play based on popping up on the injury report with a back injury.
Says right here, Andy.
And with him out there, I want Solder to end the line to play well so that Brady and the offense can play well and get the hell out of Dodge. Right?
Yeah, I think that's the first and foremost. Obviously you need to stay healthy. First and foremost, you need to see some improvement, I think. And this is a good test because if Buffalo plays hard, they have that good, as you mentioned, 50 sacks. They have that strong defensive line that can
Big M.
put some pressure on you. They got Big M. You got little G, Big M.
Who's little G?
I don't know. I just figured I'd throw a little G. Ever since I was a lowercase G.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
So, yeah, I'm with you. And there's not really a ton. And I don't even fall into the whole, this would be a good opportunity to evaluate some guys that haven't played much because I really don't think it's a great evaluation day. I mean, it's better to see guys play well. Now, I want to see Garoppolo go out there and run the offense and look like he has a grasp of what he's doing. But it's not going to be the end of the world to me if he doesn't. I don't necessarily look at what happens today in a game that's meaningless as being some sort of indication of what's going to happen in the future. So I'm with you. I don't think there's any need to sort of try to unearth some secret key to the game. The key to the game today is to improve on the offensive line and stay healthy.
And that's the biggest key is the big three, Brady, Gronkowski, and Revis, leaving the game the way they started it, walking and doing things. And people are missing just radio gold right now with Paul Perillo holding up read sheets, pointing to Kevin, wondering, do I read this now? Do I read this?
I don't know why, I was letting him talk. He was doing a fine job summarizing the whole keys to the game segment.
Fred,
and I know we have to go to break, and I was just wondering if I should read this first.
Fred says, you know, people like to see some of the cameras and stuff in here. Well, I think people would be entertained.
I just don't know why you needed to do that.
The great Paul Perillo sliding into the big chair and getting it done.
I don't know when the reads have to be made.
Shut up.
Anyway, I'm going to do it right now because this is Andy, the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, and therefore we are sponsored by...
I'm going to go with Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. So hurry in right now to Dunkin' Donuts and get a medium latte for $1.99 after 12 p.m. Try a delicious Dunkin' latte today. America runs on Dunkin'. Plus applicable tax. Don't forget that. Participation may vary. Don't forget that either.
But price doesn't.
Limited time offer. I just read what's on the sheet. Maybe someone could put it in English next time.
Legal online, too.
We have one segment down. We have a long way to go here. We're going to be joined a little bit later on in the show by our old friend Mike Rodak, who used to cover the Patriots, Andy. Now covers the Buffalo Bills. I think he's coming down in studio. But Andy and Paul will be back.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Nope. No Mark Bertrand. Paul and Andy. Otherwise known as what, Andy?
The A-Team.
And we have a big fan out in the Bay Area. That is Brett, who says Patriots 24, Bills 9. Northern California loves the A-Team.
I think that's a solid score. Mid-20s for the Patriots. Some of that from Brady and Gronkowski and company, and some of it from, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't necessarily envision 35 or 38 points in this game from the Patriots.
No, because I don't think that they're necessarily going to be, well, I don't think Brady and company are going to be in the game long enough to do that. But when you have Garoppolo and company in the game, they have incentive to score as much as they can.
But
so
the Bills
depending
also,
on who's playing for the Bills.
Right. And, I mean, Brandon Spikes, they're going to have some guys that I think are not really the kind to
Big
roll
M.
over and lay down. Big M. I actually think Big M is the kind of guy that could roll over and lay down.
Yeah, I do too.
Spikes, I don't. I think Spikes, especially against his former team, doesn't want to, you know, isn't packing it in. I think he would like to drill Jimmy Garoppolo with every bit of his fury.
Aaron is in the delivery room waiting for his baby to be born, but has time to say Patriots 34, Bills 13.
Lot of PPGS babies being born in this little post-Christmas week here. Hosts are having babies. Listeners are having babies.
And we got the host having babies and now joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, Mark the Beetle Bertrand. Woo! Mark.
Hey guys. The guy is in the delivery room?
That's what he said.
That's what he wrote. In the delivery room, waiting for my baby to be born.
His name was Mike Felger.
We didn't even know if we could get you in on the phone.
Andy, give me a break.
Only a select few people are going to get Andy's joke, but I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
So how are the A and B boys doing?
The A and B boys are doing terrific, actually.
How about the wife?
What's that?
The wife, too. Everybody good to go?
Yeah, everybody's good to go. Everybody's happy and healthy, so we're in a good spot.
How are you feeling with more babies than arms?
you got to switch it up and play zone.
Yeah.
It really is. The man-to-man goes right out the window.
Yep.
You don't want to fall into any patterns either, you know. But yeah. I'm glad to hear everything as well. You got a, they're cute from Beth yesterday. So as someone who works in that department and Beth will tell you that not all babies are cute, so I would take that as high praise.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We've now made three of these, and all three of them have come out rather cute, rather handsome.
So I think we've done well.
They're wicked handsome.
They didn't get it from me.
No, I agree. I agree. Definitely. Yeah. Now, can I ask you a
serious... I have a face for radio, but these kids might have a face for TV.
Well, that's good. A lot of money in TV.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I wouldn't know.
Can I ask you a dead serious question?
Yes.
This is not an Andy joke, because I was looking at your kids, and I was just thinking, like, do you have any stress about potentially mixing them up early on?
Not now, because one's bigger than the other.
Okay, so they're...
Size-wise, to look at them, you can tell there's a noticeable difference, and they look a lot different when you see them in person.
Right.
So I'm not worried about it now. I'm more so worried about it, like, 6 months from now.
Yeah, because up until they, you know, can talk and say, no, I'm the other one, I would be, because if you think about it, like, the butterfly effect, if you mix them up once at, you know, 7 months old, you've changed history of who they are and what their names are tied to. I would feel a little stress in that.
Yeah, considering they were born, like, less than a minute apart.
Whoa, geez.
Right? I mean, that's how close they are as twins, that all of a sudden you could just switch it up and they are the other guy.
Right, and they'll
same
never
birthday,
know.
Different name, the whole deal.
It's just crazy. That's a lot of responsibility. Don't screw
it's
it up.
Wild. Like, don't turn your back. Like,
no.
Because you know what? The smaller one is going to catch up to the bigger one. And then they're going to be the same size, and they could look a lot more like, and then we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, and then they'll start playing tricks on you, too.
I'd get them tattooed.
Yeah.
A and B.
Are you allowed to tattoo children under the age of a week?
6 months.
Just like a little spot or something.
Yeah, just a little one. Nothing. Yeah, no, we're not going Colin Kaepernick here. Just a little one on the rear end so we can, you know, if we need to check, we know who they are.
I better do like a home tattoo so nobody finds out about it.
Yeah, just go with a Sharpie.
And be careful because you might want them to be quarterbacks, and you know you can't be a quarterback if you have too many. And once again, Kaepernick out of the playoffs. Another year he will not win the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right.
First year's out of the
playoffs. Another year he will not win the Super Bowl.
It's all because of the tattoos.
Yes. All right, so we'll let you get back to your babies. We're gonna roll right into the six-pack here.
All right, let's do it.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six-pack.
What do you got, Kev?
Slow week last week for everybody.
Well, in other words, it was a week for me.
Andy and Mark, 2-4. Paul, 1-5 last week.
So much for my little resurgence.
So much for all of us being respectable.
Yeah.
All right, so Mark and Andy tied in first. 31-40. Paul, 5 games back at 26-45.
I got to run the table.
31-40.
Yes.
Oh, man.
All right.
We have clinched sub 500.
So yes. Game one, San Diego at KC. KC by 3.5.
Mark, we'll let you lead off on all of these.
I'm taking San Diego because I believe they are the better football team of these two teams today. I actually believe that. I know it's in Kansas City and it's tough, but I'm taking San Diego.
I am going to go with San Diego as well. I think Kansas City's lacerated spleen of their quarterback really is unfortunate.
He had a stomach ache. I will take Kansas City. San Diego was in the same spot last year at home and gacked all over themselves only to be bailed out by a missed chip shot field goal. So I think Kansas City at home
Paul's
wins it this
to be
year.
Different. Anyway,
yep, no question.
That's the first of six that will be trying to be different.
The New Jersey Jets at the Dolphins. Miami by 6.5.
I said this earlier in the week. It's the most Miami Dolphins thing ever to have the coach announce that he's coming back and then lay an egg in the finale against the team who's firing their coach. I'm taking the Jets with some emotion to get this done.
Beetle?
I'm going to take Miami in this one because Rex already cleaned out his office. So those guys really have nothing to play for.
Yeah, I agree. I like Miami in this game, and I don't think it'll be all that close.
Game three, Carolina at Atlanta for the NFC South. Atlanta by 3.5.
Beetle.
I'm going to go with Carolina in that one. That's who I'm taking. Because similar to you talking about Kansas City in a big spot, I never will pick Atlanta with their quarterback. Well, as much as I like him, I don't take him in a big spot. I don't take their quarterback and coach in big spots. I don't.
That's
so
true.
I'm passing on them. Carolina.
I am going to take Josh McDaniel's future team, the Atlanta Falcons, to win this game.
Yeah, I like Carolina, too, on the road. I think I took Atlanta on the radio based on the two bad teams, home team theory. But the more I'm thinking about this, the more I can see just an unbelievable gack job by Atlanta at home. I'll take Carolina.
Game four, Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay by 7.5.
I'm taking Detroit. They have something to play for. Always take the team that has things to play for.
Green Bay doesn't have anything to play for?
I'll
let you rephrase that. They got the number two seed on the line here.
I know they do, but it's more important for Detroit, obviously, for obvious reasons.
I'll take Green Bay because Detroit hasn't won in Green Bay in my lifetime or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, I think Green Bay has a lot to play for. I respectfully disagree with our obviously punch-drunk, tired father. So I think Green Bay's got a ton to play for in this game. Going on the road as opposed to being at home in the playoffs, huge. I think the Packers roll.
You guys hear that? You guys hear that?
I do.
Is that A or B?
That's for you.
Is that A or B?
Mark, I just made fun of you. You didn't have to cry.
That's B.
Cincinnati at Pittsburgh tonight. Pittsburgh by 3.5.
He's going to go through life being known as B.
I'll lead off on this one. I'll take Pittsburgh at home to win that division. I think they've played better football, more consistent football in that division down the stretch.
Pittsburgh. I want Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. I want Pittsburgh, too. Bell, Brown, and Berger get it done.
And last but not least, Buffalo at New England. New England by 5.5.
I'm taking the pass in this one, guys. Even with the guys sitting down in the second half or whenever they do choose to sit starters down, because I think they're going to win this game, and playing their backup guys is not going to get in the way in that. It's probably still going to be a touchdown at the end. So I'm taking the pass.
I agree. For all the reasons that Beadle just said, I think the Patriots are just better. I don't think Buffalo has a whole lot to play for. I don't think they'll go on the road to play a spirited game. If this game were in Buffalo, I could see the whole 9-7 carrot being more attainable. But not on the road in Foxborough. They're looking to get out of town as quickly as they can. I think the Patriots will end up winning this game handily. Andy?
What was the game? I'm taking the Patriots.
Okay.
I was looking for the inactives. I think they're out. Right,
okay. That's the last one, Kevin. All right. Beadle.
Yes.
Enjoy the zone defense. Maybe you want to give Jim Boeheim a call, the intricacies of the zone, so you can learn that. But otherwise, get some rest, and hopefully we'll be able to see you in a couple of weeks.
We'll be back. Let's see. We get the bye, and then we'll be back. PPGS will be back together.
All right. You do have time to get in here for the post-game show if you want.
I'm going to pass on that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to give you the option because you know how much I like hosting.
Yeah, I know you love it. I know you do.
All right. Well, enjoy. Give our best to your wife.
Sounds like you guys are doing a fine job.
Yeah, I was until Andy started telling everybody about how I was gesturing to Kevin to see when I should do a read and stuff. So he gives away all the
all right,
state
gotta
secrets.
Go. Bye, Beadle. I got to do my injury report. See
all right, congratulations, all right. Beadle. Mark the Beadle Bertrand. Andy, let's go right to the injury report.
This week's injury report is brought to you by Guardian Life Insurance. Injuries aren't just a spectator sport. They can happen on or off the field, and they can happen to you. Good financial health begins with the benefits offered at your workplace. Make the defensive play, something the Patriots have done a little bit of today. Look for Guardian Life Insurance to protect you and your family this enrollment season. Inactives, Dan Conley, Sebastian Vollmer, Julian Edelman, all as expected. And everybody... clap, because number 87, Rob Gronkowski, inactive. Jonas Gray, Dante Hightower, and Brandon Browner. So all expected names inactive other than maybe Rob Gronkowski. So Patriots fans, the team has erred on the side of caution, as many of you had hoped. And Gronk will not get injured today and will be indeed healthy coming out of the bye for the Patriots' first postseason game.
All right, so... Dante Hightower is not overly surprising because of the shoulder injury that he had that caused him to miss a game. And I am not overly surprised, but pleasantly surprised that Belichick actually sort of agreed with our line of thought on Gronk. He's one guy that's sort of like, do you really need to go out and subject him to five or six more hits?
And I will say, I also won't be surprised if they don't have 46 players dressed. I mean, or
you're still going to go with that,
or huh? Are dressed, but you can't find their helmet.
If there's guys,
their
that,
helmet
there's
is nowhere
guys
near
that
them.
Don't play that are dressed.
Yeah,
that I could see. Usually there's one, maybe two. There might be a couple of those.
And I literally think there's a chance you see guys who, if you made them find their helmet, wouldn't be able to find it immediately. I'm being dead serious.
I know you are. You're going to go down with that.
I think Jamie Collins. There's a chance maybe he doesn't play. Let's say, and doesn't know where his helmet is, and you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't think that they'll play much if they do play. So was it Gray, Conley, Edelman, Hightower, Vollmer, Gronk? And was there one more?
You got Browner.
Browner, okay. So I wonder if that Browner thing is anything to worry about.
I don't think so.
Because he wasn't on the injury report last week, correct?
Previous to this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this week he was on the injury report, right, with a groin.
Yeah.
But I don't remember him being on.
No. He's a new addition. But I think he was added so he could be inactive.
Well, I mean, you didn't have to add him to make him inactive.
I don't know what they do.
Well, Gronk isn't on it.
No, I know, but I don't know what they do with those questionables. We know that they run stats in the league and, you know, guys play and don't play. They have a guy that was on there and is inactive, a guy that wasn't on there who's inactive. So,
yeah, I mean, they had five guys that were questionable out of the whatever.
12 or 15 or something.
Yeah, it's a sizable list. But let's get...
So the offensive line, let's just be clear. The offensive line will not have its left guard and its right tackle, but it may have its Tom Brady behind it.
Yeah, given that scenario, I don't think you'll see a ton of Brady today. I thought you might have seen a half of Brady, and I don't know if we'll see that much of it.
Yeah, I was expecting into the second quarter, but as we've talked about, what happens if Brady's getting battered around for two series?
Yeah, I don't think that's what you're looking for.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not. No matter how much caca he's got up the street at TB12.
And it's one of those things, too, that if you want to try to get that can work both ways. You want to try to get the offense some cohesion and, you know, something to feel good about. And then all of a sudden you go three and out three of the first five possessions. And, you, as you say, even worse, you get the quarterback batted around a little bit. Let's say it's like last week. You got sacked four times in the first half last week. Let's say he goes down twice in the first three series today and you got to get him out. Now it's even worse. You feel even worse about it.
But I will say, you know, I already see people, Ben Vol and Belichick, being very smart by benching Gronk. Very little gain, a lot to lose by playing him today. That is true. But it is also true for anyone else. You know, Gronk, Brady, you know, it's true. It's true for Revis. You have far more to lose than to gain by playing them today. So, I mean, it's hard to sort of praise him for one without criticizing him for the other, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to be playing. Now, I understand you can't sit everybody.
No, but I mean, there's 50 guys and then there's those three. I don't care about Jamie Collins or Nate Solder or any of those Jags. These are the star three.
That was a little harsh. You didn't mean it that way.
Thanks, Bob. I'll take that back.
No, you didn't mean that to come out harshly.
No, I didn't. There are superstars, and then there's the rest of the team.
There's guys that you're going to have a very hard time winning without.
So I don't care about the rest. But for someone to say, you know, very smart by Belichick today to sit Gronkowski, well, it's... Is it not smart to not sit Revis and Brady, right? I mean, isn't that the counter-argument of that, the counter-discussion point?
And listen, maybe, as you said, maybe he is going to sit Brady. Maybe Brady's not going to play a single snap today.
That's true. And I mean, he's got to be one of those guys where I don't know where his helmet is.
He's got to be dressed.
Right.
Because if you lose Garoppolo, someone's got to go out there and hand the ball off, and it would be Brady.
Yeah. And it can't be Edelman.
So
he's inactive.
No, I got what you're saying. So there is, I mean, I guess... Anything is possible.
And we didn't activate, what's his name?
Gilbert.
Garrett Gilbert.
Who I saw in the locker room last week.
From the famous losing Gilberts.
Right. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We have a few guys been holding on for a while here, starting with Neil in Cleveland. Neil, were you at Johnny Manziel's party the other night?
Oh, man, what a good time that was. Yeah. Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys.
I agree.
Well, I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years, so first time calling in.
Well, welcome aboard. Why today? What's new?
Because you want to tell us about the Manziel party.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, I overslept, and I'm just not being productive otherwise. So.
Neither are we.
Actually, yeah, Paul, you're doing a good job hosting, I got to say. Nice to hear you up front a little bit.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, great.
But... What I wanted to talk about is how important the running game is to this offense. And I'm not expecting to see anything surprising today, but don't you think that come playoff time, we're going to see a return to that sort of extra lineman the way that they did for the Colts game?
If they played the Colts, absolutely. Depending on the matchup, I don't know if that, you know, if they played Denver or Cincinnati, maybe Cincinnati. Because you can run on Cincinnati. Denver, I'm not positive that would be the right way to go. Baltimore, I'm not positive that would be the right way to go. But, yeah, I think depending on matchups, Neil, I could see it. Interesting to me, and Andy and I have been talking about this the last few weeks, is how Belichick seems to be searching for which guy he wants to use in that role. And it's been Solder. It's been Marcus Cannon. It was Cameron Fleming. Now he's back healthy. It'd be interesting to see who actually gets that role if they use it in the playoffs.
Well, and let's be clear, yeah, this is an offensive line that has a lot of trouble just doing the basics with protecting, but I think that's why I think the running game is so important. If you give those guys the assignment that they need to go out there and, you know, pound it and take it to the defense, even if you can just establish that and set a little bit of a tone of that early on, I think that always seems to make a huge difference in the passing game.
Yeah, you always want to be able to run the football. Everybody would want to run the ball. The only question is, how much do you invest in that and at what cost? And what I mean by that is if you try to run it against a good run defense on the first two series in the postseason and end up punting, well, now are you kicking yourself and you know later to say, oh, I wasted two drives early when I should have just thrown it and scored and dug a hole or whatever. So, yes, everybody would like to run. Everybody except Paul would agree that they'd like to be able to run. But how do you invest in that to try to make it happen, and is it worth it? Are you good enough to expect you can do it?
And thanks for the call, Neil. No, I mean, I agree. I think that you need to run the ball. I don't necessarily think it needs to be like Indianapolis. Like, we got to get back to pounding the rock and doing all these things in terms of sticking with the ground game. Let's see what Justin in Virginia has to say about the inactives in this game today. Justin, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Say hi to Andy. He's been waiting for you to call.
Hey, Andy.
What's up, Justin? You're my favorite caller these days. Did you know that?
You're my favorite analyst of all time.
Well, thank you.
Analyst?
Hey.
What?
He's a very analyst.
Yes.
But my prediction is 28-24 with Garoppolo having a game-winning touchdown. And I wanted to ask you guys, what's the maximum amount you give for Revis? Because in my opinion, I don't care about Mayo or McCourty as long as you resign Revis. And thank you, guys. Take care.
I would agree with that. I don't know what the parameters are, Andy. You're good at throwing these out there. Like, you know, what do you give it? Like maybe a 3 or 4 year deal, average annual somewhere around $15 million, because that's what he's going to be looking for.
Yeah, I would say 4 years, $65 million with $28 million in real guarantees.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely think that he is much more of a priority than McCourty.
Yes.
And obviously Mayo is going to be taking a pay cut.
But I did want to just point out, I don't have the details in front of me.
Do so quickly, because we have some things
he
to
can
do
wait.
Here.
I think Mayo has some salary guarantees in his contract that could muddy the water of a simple restructure. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hit one last call here in the Ace Ticket Hotline before we go behind enemy lines, and that's with Pat Nagawam. Pat, what's up?
What's going on, boys?
Hey!
I got a question, a couple of statements I wanted to make. My question is, you guys remember, at least in the Bill Belichick era, them having this year being the most complete special teams you've ever seen. Because, I mean, back in 01, you know, you had Troy Brown returning punts. In 03, 02, 03, you had Seymour blocking field goals. You had Bethel Johnson returning kicks. But, I mean, they've made plays in every phase. They've blocked punts. They've blocked field goals. They've had big plays on kick returns, big plays on punt returns this year.
Yeah, I would say that this is similar to those 3 years. And I think you're selling some of those individual years short. Troy Brown returned punts for touchdowns. He also returned blocked field goals for touchdowns in that year. I can remember a fake field goal for a touchdown in 04. I think that in those championship years, I think the special teams almost always found a way to contribute something in a game. The coverage was always airtight. The kicking game was a big-time strength. Now, there was a time there the punting game was not really strong with Ken Walter.
Just ask the late, great Steve Belichick.
Yeah, when they got Josh Miller, it improved. But Ken Walter was a struggle, and Ryan Allen has been very good. But I agree with your overall premise, Pat. The special teams have been a big part of the success of this team this year with, what, 5 block kicks and some good returns as well, long kick and punt returns, for Amendola and obviously Edelman.
I think that's probably the biggest difference between this year's team and, I mean, I'm not punching the ticket to Arizona just yet.
Oh, go ahead and do it. I've done it.
The last two Super Bowl teams in 07, 2011. I mean, 2011 we had Julian Edelman and Matt Slater playing defense. I mean, we have playmakers all across, offense, defense, and special teams this year.
That's right. Just hand him the damn trophy.
I'm not so sure I wouldn't rather see Edelman out there than Logan Ryan, but that's just me. I'm just kidding.
All right, Pat. Have a good day.
Thanks, Pat. And now, this is a special treat, Andy.
For who?
For him.
Oh, okay.
Because we are about to go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Andy, it's not often that we are graced with such professionalism. I mean, look at the suit and tie. Do you remember like suits like this when he was covering the Patriots?
No.
He stepped up the out-of-town wardrobe.
You find it interesting. It's all in black going to the Bills' funeral today or whatever that is.
That
What's
was
that
kind
about?
Of my thought there.
Mike Rodak, who, you know, he made his bones, let's face it, here.
Right.
You know, working with Mike Reese at ESPN Boston. He's now branched out. Still with the worldwide leader, though.
Indeed.
Covering
and actually
the Buffalo
covering
Bills.
The Bills in Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean, unlike the first year that he did it, when he did so from the Foxborough branch. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. Long-time listener, first-time guest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, not for a lack of invite.
Well, thank you.
You know, what say you about this team? We were talking a little bit about, obviously, there's not much to play for on either side today. Is there anything to be gained? Has there been any talk in Buffalo this week about ending the Gillette Stadium thing and, you know, achieving a winning record, going 9-7? Is that on the radar at all?
I'd say it's less the Gillette Stadium thing and more that this team hasn't beat the Patriots. I mean, other than that one game, 2011, these players, basically all of them, haven't experienced a win over New England, and they want to come out here and do it. I mean, there was talk this week, obviously, about Patriots not playing their starters, and a couple of Bills players actually said they want to play their starters because they want to come out here and prove themselves against what the Patriots have. Of course,
Spikes, was he one of those?
Spikes was not. It was actually Eric Wood, you know, a little bit veteran there.
Yep.
He hasn't beaten the Patriots in 5 years, so he wanted Aaron Williams, wanted to pick off Tom Brady in his own house or whatever he called it. So there's definitely some motivation, but these guys were so deflated after last week, after that Raiders loss, that, you know, to muster something up for this game, I think, is still going to be pretty tough.
Now, this may be a dumb question, but it's coming from me, so you probably assume that anyway.
Of course.
Ownership change. And even though the team is going in apparently the right direction with a chance at a winning season today and, you know, all of that, is Doug Marrone entrenched there, or is there any chance that the owners could, you know, shake things up?
It's funny. I think that the most safe figure on this team right now is Doug Marrone, based on where this team was 2 years ago when Chan Gailey was the coach. And yeah, they were 6-10 last year. They'll probably finish 8-8 this year unless they can win today, obviously. But that's still their best record since 2004. They were 9-7 2004.
So go ahead, Paul.
Tell everybody who the quarterback was then.
Drew.
Yeah.
Bledsoe. There you go.
I haven't had a winning record since Drew.
Of course. Well, that's Drew for you. Marrone, he has a lot of support around the team. The players like him. Now the question is, what happens up top? And like you said, ownership change, will they bring in Bill Polian? It was a whole story yesterday, Pro Football Talk, and then Polian came out yesterday to the Buffalo News and basically denied it. Another report this morning, Brian Arault, an agent apparently, was in the running for one of those, you know, front office gigs, and he came out and denied that story. So there's a lot of names being thrown out. I mean, right now, I'd say the best bet is that Russ Brandon, who used to be in charge of football, I mean, when Ralph Wilson was the owner, he might lose some power under this whole new setup. And then it'll trickle down from there, whether they hire somebody to be the football czar. Mike Holmgren in Cleveland was a good example of that. And then whether he keeps Doug Whaley or not as the GM. So it might trickle down, and Marrone might be really the last decision. But, again, most people right now think he's pretty safe.
You know, they made it an interesting decision early on, you know, to go away from E.J. Manuel and go with a veteran backup. But certainly even Doug Marrone's best impression of Kyle Orton was not that he was the answer long term. Is the Manuel era over and they're going to be in the market for a quarterback? Or, you know, how does this all unfold here?
I think that the fact that we're not seeing E.J. today is pretty good evidence that, A, Marrone doesn't really like the guy, which I think was pretty obvious after four games to turn away from him. He was a Doug Whaley pick. He was a Buddy Nix pick. You can debate that. I don't really think he was a Doug Marrone pick. And B, it means that he's probably not in the future, especially if Marrone stays next year. I don't think Marrone wants, I don't think he trusts him with that starting role next year. Just, look, he's a great kid. EJ's very well put together, has a great makeup, everything you want in a scout, looking as a scout's perspective. But when he's out in the field, it just doesn't click for him. Arm strength's not there, accuracy's not there, decision making's not there. So after, I mean, it's only been 14 games, I believe, he started. I just don't think this franchise can really afford trotting him out there one more year and trying to sell tickets next year. So, yes, I would think absolutely they're not going to keep Kyle Orton as their guy next year. They're going to go out and find somebody, whether it's trading for Jay Cutler or RG3 or Sanchez as a free agent, or, you know, second or third round pick. And you know, look with Raiders and Derek Carr this year, second round pick, done pretty well. So I just don't see them sticking with what they have right now.
Now, let me ask you this before Andy can jump in with some different stuff. How good do you think this team is if it had, say, I'm not putting a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers, but if you had like an Andy Dalton, a Joe Flacco, a good quarterback who has his moments but is inconsistent, just a good solid starting quarterback. How good do you think the Buffalo Bills
are?
They're
at least a 9-7 team. I think you have at least one win this year where you can pin on the quarterback, and probably closer to 2 or 3. So they're potentially a 10-6, maybe 11-5 team. This is a really good defense. They had their moments obviously last week in Oakland against the Chargers, against the Patriots early in the season. But for the most part, this defense has been locked down. It's just been the offense. It's been even the running game too. The running game, a lot of people think Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller, Bryce Brown, Anthony Dixon, those guys are actually on a pace right now to have the fewest rushing yards in franchise history, unless they have 170 today. So it's not, the rushing game is part of it. So I think it's hard to say it's, a 12-4, 13-3 team with a good quarterback, but they're definitely, it's a 1 or 2 game improvement.
Along those lines, there's sort of the Fred Jacksons and the holdovers. There's the middle of their career Mario Williams, and then you have Sammy Watkins. In your opinion, if they become a good football team, what is the core of this football team? Who are the guys they're building around?
Well, it has to be Watkins. I mean, what they gave up for him, which, again, you can debate that trade forever and ever, and I think a lot of people were pretty hard on it when it came down, me included. I think it was a bad trade. Willie came out right after that trade and said, hey, we're going to make the playoffs this year, and we're going to make EJ better with that guy. Anything that happened, but
is it still a bad trade?
I think so.
Okay.
Absolutely. And Watkins, I mean, he's not, as we see Odell Beckham on the screen right now catching that pass, that's one guy who they could have had if they had kept their number 9 pick or traded down. It's a guy who they like, too. So they traded 2 first-round picks for Watkins, and they could have had, Beckham for one. But one way or the other, he has to be part of your core, given the price you paid to get him. Robert Woods, another receiver I think they like, younger. Their offense has pieces. And defensively, Mario, yeah, definitely. He's under contract for 3 years. It's pretty big money, but if they can re-sign Jerry Hughes, another young guy on the outside, Darius has one more year left in his deal. He's probably going to re-sign. Preston Brown, Kiko Alonso, the linebackers they love. And then in the secondary, Stephon Gilmore, Aaron Williams, two guys they love too. So, they're not in a position to really lose a lot of guys in free agency this offseason. It's just a matter of, can they find a quarterback? That's how simple it is in this league sometimes.
Minor question. Do people call Mario Williams Big M?
No, I'd say it's more just Mario.
Because Bill Belichick called him Big M in his press conference on Friday.
I've never heard that, honestly.
And Bill's not usually one to just, make up and throw around nicknames willy-nilly.
No, that's Bill for you.
There's about 4 of us looking at it. Did he just? It was
Big
like
M.
What's the movie when they're?
I'm not a movie guy.
What's the Will Ferrell
look
movie?
At me.
What's the Will Ferrell movie? Like, why can I not think of the?
I don't know.
The college movie.
Terrible radio.
Never mind.
Old school.
Oh yeah.
Old school, and like they're listening to the wedding guy sing, and he's like swearing.
Yeah.
And like, did he just say? Yep. We all like kind of looked at each other like, what is going on? Big M. What?
Big M.
How do you go about, you rattled off some names of quarterbacks, and what kind of cap situation can they acquire these guys? I mean, are they equipped to, roll the dice on a trade with RG3 or Cutler with some money on, or do you kind of go more like a free agent route?
They are. I mean, right now I think they're bottom third in terms of cap number next year, so top third in terms of cap space, so it's really a matter of what they do with Jerry Hughes. Right now, I think the franchise number for an end is probably going to be around 13 or 14 million. So that they have about 30 something. That basically cuts your space in half if you franchise him. But then they could also restructure Mario. Mario's under contract for 19 and a half next year, I think, is his cap number. So, convert some of the base salary to signing bonus, make some room there. Another thing they can do is with Darius. I think he's under contract right now for 8 million next year. If they extend him, bring that number down, they can definitely make some room. Now, Cutler's deal is big, and I think the Bears obviously will take on some money if they traded him, but there's room. I mean, they can move things around. It's not like they have $40, $50 million in cap room, as some teams have in some years, but it's manageable.
All right. You got anything else for him?
It's hard to ask a guy questions about a game that is kind of...
I mean, I would have a million questions about matchups in this game today, but we don't have matchups in this game today. Gilmore, I assume,
he's out.
Was he downgraded? Yeah,
right.
I assumed he wasn't going to play. I would like to have seen him match up against it, but, wasn't going to happen.
Revis Watkins?
Yeah. We saw it the first time, and obviously Revis won it. I would have been interested to see that happen, see if Watkins had made you know, any adjustments on that, but you're not going to see a lot of that today. So, you know, to sit here and talk about all of these different matchups.
Do you like Doug Marrone?
Personally, yeah, he's a great, he's a good guy. I think he's a good football coach. Like I said, players like him. He's a good motivator.
Is he a Doug guy?
You know, I think he's still growing into the role. You know, he's not.
Were you at the combine when he did his first combine?
I was not. No, last year
he rubbed me the wrong way. Is he OCD or something?
He
kept moving the bottle. He seemed very nervous. He moved his hands.
And he declared him a failure.
He's an offensive line coach.
That's what he
does. I remember that. He's an offensive line coach. I mean, this is really his first NFL, big NFL gig.
Right.
So, there's a learning curve there for him, especially with the media. He's not polished up that way. He's not like a Sean Payton or you know, a guy who's been around the block. So. But, you know, as a football coach, he's been decent. I mean, his offense, like I said, it's a defense that's really run this team. But the offense, him and Nate Hackett, that's the struggling part of the team right now. So that's if he does get fired, that's what they're going to use as justification for it.
Oh, and one more I got. I'm just throwing them out there. Now they're coming to me.
Oh, good.
Obviously, a couple Patriots in Buffalo this year. What's Pepper Johnson and Brandon Spikes been like for a year in Buffalo?
Well, Pepper pretty much, I want to say, lucked into it. But, I mean, he's pretty fortunate to have the situation he does with that line. I mean, three Pro Bowlers. You can probably make a case for Jerry Hughes as a fourth Pro Bowler. So, to be honest, like, it's a perfect little gig for him. You know, he looks great. The defensive line is great. And I don't know if he's in line, you know, to become a coordinator next year, but it's a good spot for him. As far as Spikes, I mean, I think Bill nailed it this week when he said he's exactly what we expected him to be. He's a one or two down player.
Right.
You know, there's always a talk about him becoming a three down player.
Yeah.
And he doesn't
play. Kiko Alonso injury hurt that area, I would imagine.
It did. I mean, at the beginning of the season, they had Spikes in some sub-packages, but he got burned. And then they had the rookie Preston Brown, the third rounder, kind of come in. And he's not, you know, speedster himself, but he's definitely more athletic than Spikes. And between him and Nigel Bradham, those are the third down guys. And, you know, second down in a lot of cases, too. So Spikes, I think, is about 40% of snaps, and he's not doing a whole lot. One-year deal, so it's pretty up in the air whether he's back next year.
Mike Rodak from ESPN, covering the Bills for ESPN.com. Why don't you give out your Twitter information?
Sure, it's pretty simple.
Off the top of my head.
It is at Mike Rodak, R-O-D-A-K.
And who are you picking today?
I had the Patriots.
Hey, can we get a pick from you?
Yeah.
I forgot the Beatle line.
I actually have the Patriots 28-16. That was also before, you know, the Gronk news came out as far as inactives. But I still think you have Ron Brooks starting at cornerback. You have Stephon Charles, Corbin Bryant starting at defensive tackle. This isn't the same defense. I still think, even if Garoppolo's in there, Brady, whatever happens to be the case, that there's still opportunities to score. And, of course, you know, look where we're playing. You know, AFC team hasn't won here in 6 years, whatever it's been. So it's still a really tough game for the Bills.
All right, that's Mike Rodak, and there's not a whole lot of excitement about this game. I can't even muster it up.
He wore a black suit.
That
was the point.
You look like the Giants getting off the plane in Arizona.
It's over for the Bills. Funeral time.
Because they were going to a funeral. So Doug Marrone back, Andy Hart, E.J. Manuel not part of the future, but we don't know who is part of the
and
future.
And Mike Rodak said Bills will win the division in 2015.
That's exactly what I didn't say.
That's interesting. When does the playoff stretch end? Next year?
For the Bills? Could be. I mean, Dolphins are a good team. You know, who knows? I think the Patriots, as long as they have Brady and as long as they have Belichick, they're keeping his team out of the playoffs. So, could be longer.
Well, that's true, too, because the other divisions, you have a chance to win the division at, you know, 7-9. And
right.
You don't have that with the Patriots. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, Mike, thanks for joining us and coming behind enemy lines with us. We have a lot of emails from you guys. I want to get to those. We'll get back to the phone lines. We're about halfway through here on the final regular season edition of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium, So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
All aboard!
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Have a prediction for today's game? Let us know about it on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email your prediction to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Mark, Andy, and Paul on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Now, Andy, that was the Beatle rejoin that you were looking for. The 10-second delay.
But at least you weren't ready. Sometimes he's at the mic, and it's like he chooses to just wait a couple minutes, collect his thoughts, and then go.
One of the three hosts does not have pants on right now.
That'd be me.
Great moments in PPGS history. So we are moving right along here, Andy, and a lot of people are happy about the inactive list. And, well, I shouldn't say a lot of people. Some people are happy with them. Some people not so happy with it. But Rachel is saying she's looking at it as a good thing. Apparently, Chandler Jones is back to 100% or close enough. I like getting Hightower back to 100% and means the rest of the guys that were on the report but limited aren't limited enough not to go. Glad Blunt is back on the field. Groin's in the playoffs. Ellis Hobbs, anyone? Sit Bronner and get him close to 100% for the playoffs. He's already not the fastest guy in coverage. No need to slow him down more for a pointless game. Let the offense play the first quarter or a few series and then bench them, and I'm fine with it. Could we see Boyce return some kicks? Also like to see Bolden and the other running back from preseason get some carries. James White? Also, what was the injury that sent the season-long healthy scratch Dennard to IR?
It's hamstring, right?
Hamstring, correct. I think we would sort of agree with that line of thinking with the inactives. Guy like Hightower, we know he's not 100%. He was gutting it out. He missed one game, but probably could have missed a couple. So I can understand that, and I think that's a good move. Alex in Brazil thinks they didn't go far enough, though. Sticking with the emails here. I don't like one bit playing Revis, dressing Brady, or even Collins for that matter. Make Brady, Gronk, Revis, LaFell, Edelman, and even Danny Aiken watch this one from the couch instead of having them do so come February 1st. Jimmy G plays. If Jimmy G hurts himself, tripping off Stork's left ankle, just put freaking Casillas in to hand the ball off to our 11th-string running back. By the way, Sint Blunt too, dagnabbit. This is the exhibition game that Big Al meant when he went all mental with the Packers game. An open letter to Bill. Seriously, Bill, I was hoping to have hoping to have a RELAXED football Sunday, and now I'm going to be on the edge of my seat having to trust Solder to keep Brady alive or keep watching out for Revis's hammies after every single sprint. One snap could do all the difference. We've seen that before. Forfeit the damn game. As much as I care, don't risk what can be a great season. Glendale or bust, right, Andy?
No,
Glendale and bust.
Yes.
Right, Andy?
Yes. Yeah,
that's what he wrote.
Okay.
That's what he wrote. I was trying to do the thing that Fred can't do,
right.
But he did write and bust.
That's right.
Great job today, Pauly. Congrats, Beatles. Screw Eric. Happy Christmas and all that nonsense that used to matter before the inactive list came out. So Alex doesn't think they went far enough with the inactive
list.
Well,
it won't be the whole game you have to sit on the edge of your seat. There will be some portion of the game, whether that's second quarter, third quarter, where you can relax. And I guess you could always worry that, you know, they're standing on the sideline and some, you know, wide running play, a pile goes into them and they get hurt. But I think they'll be off the field by the second half at the latest.
I just want to address something really quick. We're getting some emails on it, and I know we put a notice up on Patriots.com. There will be no curse words today. We had some technical difficulties with the proprietor of curse words. Freddie is not able to do it today. Believe me, in order for that to have happened, it's serious. He's not feeling great. So I've never seen him miss a game. So for him
and a lot of them are shooting liquids out.
For him not to be able to do it means that he is really not feeling well. He's okay. I don't want to make it sound like he's, you know, in the hospital or anything.
Oh, no,
like
not life-threatening. Just
yeah. But for Fred not to be able to be here for a game, this is, I believe, my 15th season, and this is the first time that I can ever recall Fred not being actually in the stadium for a game. So that's why there's no curse words, and we actually try to convince him before the show, Andy and I, to go home.
Because I didn't want to spend 3 hours within 3 feet of him and get sick.
No sense of getting all of us sick, and he was really in a bad way this morning. So no curse words.
He's in a bad way.
He was in a bad way. I mean, Andy, we walked by his office. He had his head
down
on his desk.
I think he drank too much. Too many Diet Millers over the weekend.
So you just have to, I guess, watch the game the old-fashioned way. Just watch it on TV.
How will you ever get by without reading, oh, they're going to call that?
oh, never mind. Or Chandler Jones in the game. Yeah, Fred, he started.
Right.
Let's see here. We have, who's next up here?
I don't know. I can't read the emails.
PPGS. I'm a longtime listener, first time emailer. It's Bob in Charlotte, Andy. I love listening to you guys. I wanted to thank you for being my top choice for Patriots news and analysis. I wanted to get your thoughts on Dennard going on IR and the activation of Josh Boyce. Is this mostly about depth at receiver with Edelman unlikely to play today? What does this say about Dennard's future with the team? I think the Dennard future with the team is sort of interesting. What do you think?
I do too. This sort of felt to me like the Brandon Spikes thing from last year. When was he hurt? Did he have a pain? Was there something? Yes. Did he need to go on IR? No. Did you choose to put him on IR for a reason? Yes. And that came out quite clearly afterwards from Spikes and his camp that he was clearly placed on IR as punishment last year. And I don't know what went on with Alphonso Dennard. But I think there's a lot that went on that none of us are privy to. I have not seen any reports of anyone that is privy to the information. But I think it was a tumultuous or strange year behind the scenes for Alphonso Dennard.
Yeah, I'm with Andy 100% here. There's some strange. There's a story behind this this whole scenario, because I don't have any idea why a guy would have had such a significant role to start a season and then become such an irrelevant non-factor. I don't know if it's discipline. I don't know if it's anything that he's done during the course of the year. I keep telling you guys this, and Andy and I feel the same way about it. In the locker room, you'd never know. He is as approachable, seemingly happy guy as you'd never know. On Friday, as an example, we were in the locker room as part of the open locker room period. I believe until about 1:45 or 2 o'clock. We left the locker room. 2 hours later, the injury report comes out. He was added with a hamstring injury and listed as out. You never would have known that in the locker room. He was there. He was with Devin McCourty and Logan Ryan and Kyle Arrington and all the rest of the defensive backs. They all dressed together in that same side of the locker room, and they were all you know, as they always are, interacting with each other, and they're among the happiest groups of positions, I would say, in the position players in the locker room. So I don't have any answers here. I think Andy's comparison to Brandon Spikes, and I haven't seen that anywhere else. I haven't seen anybody talking about that. I think Andy's Brandon Spikes comparison here, I think, is very interesting. I think there might be some validity to that. But otherwise, I just don't have the answers. I don't know where he is. I don't know why he hasn't been a factor. I don't know why Malcolm Butler seemed to supplant him as the extra cornerback on the outside. I don't know why they've stuck with Logan Ryan as much as they have, but we might never know.
Interesting note from somebody who knows a little something about being a backup quarterback and things of that nature. Scott Zolak tweeted out, no wristbands, glove, play sheet on 12, ... Jimmy G. Because Tom Brady is on the field warming up, but according to Zolak, just based on his observation of Brady's attire and equipment, maybe there's a chance that Jimmy G gets
and
the start.
Along those lines, Tyler in North Carolina asks why we signed the practice squad quarterback Garrett Gilbert a week ago if we're not planning on activating him for a meaningless Week 17 game. Do we just need the extra scout quarterback to emulate potential playoff quarterbacks? The short answer to that, Andy, to me, is that might have been the reason. Bill might have looked at this game and the possibility of giving Brady a week off. And if he wanted to have Garoppolo play, well, then someone needed to be the quarterback, right, in practice all week. The scout team quarterback. That might be as simple as that. Now, he also may have wanted the third quarterback. You know, as you get down the stretch into the playoffs, you want to have a third guy just in case. And, you know, if something were to happen to Garoppolo or whatever, and you needed to have another guy that maybe has a little bit of a familiarity with your system, he would have been here 3 or 4 weeks by that point if he, you know, had to be the backup quarterback. Gilbert, I'm talking about.
I also think there's a chance they like him, and they wanted him around, and as of tomorrow, teams will start signing futures deals, and you have him on your practice squad now. He's part of your organization. You probably have the inside track to retain him for next year. So I think there might be
a
chance.
Did he just become available? What was his deal? Gilbert.
I don't know
his transaction history.
I don't know. But, you know, they were in the point in the season where they, too, are probably thinking about futures contracts and guys for next year as part of their overall annual process. And now I think technically a guy could probably sign with another team, but you're not going to leave a practice squad of a team that's going to the Super Bowl. Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah, and then he would be – yeah, I mean, I suppose he could sign with another team and then be on that other team's roster. Yeah, you're right. But I wouldn't think that would make any sense.
Yeah, I think there's a chance they want him here next summer as the third quarterback in training camp.
Yeah, and we talked, Andy.
And you think they might need one because, you know, as Andrew Brandt tweeted out earlier, Tom Brady's salaries did indeed become guaranteed as of Saturday for the next 3 years. And Andrew Brandt said, but the question is he going to play for that money? And he said doubtful or something like that. Andrew Brandt, the former agent who was then former Packers executive, who is now media guy, does not think Tom Brady is going to play for his $7 million salary next year. And that's a man that knows the business from both sides very well, very intimately. And he does not think Brady will play for that.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, I know. That's why I said it. And in that scenario.
But I think he's going to be playing for the Patriots. I just don't think he's going to be playing for $7 million.
But if he's not here in passing camps and OTAs, you probably need more than one quarterback.
Well, I think he'll be here for when he has to be here. But
when he has to be here is basically, you know, early in the offseason. As a quarterback, all those passing camps really start with the quarterback. Kind of makes sense. It's a passing camp. They don't call it a fullback camp.
Brilliant.
James Devlin gets his own camp.
That's mid-April. That's a
Oh, so you think that'll be finalized by mid-April?
Brilliant. No, I think that, I think that we might not know about it, but I think that I just don't see it getting ugly.
Then I got to say, if I'm another team, I'm calling something. There's something stinks then.
What stinks?
I don't know. That doesn't seem right.
To restructure a contract?
That easily? And we're just going to go from he was guaranteed to make $7 million and now we're just going to double. Something stinks there if I'm another team. I thought we didn't do fake contracts. I don't know what's getting screwed. I'm going to say right out the board. Well, I don't know who, what, or how is getting screwed, but it sounds weird.
But the other teams wouldn't be getting screwed because it would be high cap number, high cap number, high cap number. Now it's going to be a low cap number, and you're redoing it to make it a higher cap number.
I don't think his cap number is all that low.
Well, it wouldn't be as high.
I thought his cap number is like $18 million.
But it wouldn't be as high as it is now. I think it's over 19 now, isn't it?
For this year or for next year?
For this year.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about next year. I'm pretty
next
sure
year it's lower than that. I believe
it's $18 million.
Oh, all right.
I thought.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't think it was.
I'm just
that
saying.
High.
If then why do we? It smells. Doesn't pass Andy Hart's sniff test.
I don't understand what. I'm usually with you on your sniff test. You know, like the TB12 training center.
Then why'd they do it?
I think that they were sort of covering themselves for a decline, and then he had a typical Tom Brady year.
Something stinks. Something doesn't smell right at the town dump.
And I think especially if they end up winning a Super Bowl, now he's in a position
of
power.
And Garoppolo shines in the finale, then I trade him.
Wow.
Drop that nugget 20 minutes to go in the show.
boy, oh boy. Let's see here. Who is this?
Now
guy?
Everybody's on the
Santiago
train.
From Colombia.
No, Bill, no Tom Brady play sheet. Everybody is assuming Jimmy Garoppolo could, and he does have one on Jimmy Garoppolo's arm. So Jimmy Garoppolo, according to the eyes in the skies, getting ready to play, and maybe Brady isn't.
The eyes in the skies?
Yeah. The eyes in the skies never lies.
But there's only one sky. There are more than one set of eyes, but there's only one sky. They're all in the same one. Would
Ooh,
you know?
Bill Belichick said, I need him.
Need who?
Who do you think he said that about on the 98.5 pregame?
Nick Caserio.
He, quote, he contributes a lot in a lot of different ways, and I'm glad I have him. I need him.
Okay.
Makes it kind of sound like dirty.
Yeah. Well, Santiago was wondering if we look at that extension that Caserio signed, I think it has anything to do with Bill's stay in New England. And evidently your guy, Tommy Curran, pointed that out on Twitter.
Tommy Curran did indeed say he imposed the idea that maybe that's the end of the Belichick window. 2000 to 2020 could be the Belichick window, and they are preparing.
Oh, okay.
What?
That goes all the way to 2020? You're gonna have him stay? Okay.
That's why I thought it was ridiculous. Six bleeping years away.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Why is he yelling behind the glass?
I don't know. There's a lot of noise. I mean, the chimps.
You got a chimp running the show, and he doesn't need to be unsettled by
especially
stuff
when
the glass.
You know, at this point in the show, we're sort of winding it down here, and you know, we're getting prepared to get visited by Eric, and we all know how much I like that part of the show.
So should I assume, okay, if everybody's
you're just
right,
going to talk to Eric when he calls? Yes, you should assume that.
If the eyes in the skies are right, and Brady isn't playing,
only one sky,
because he doesn't have his play sheet on, and blah blah blah.
Yes.
Well, now I'm saying if I'm Darrelle Revis, I'm not playing, am I? Because the other two stars aren't playing. I shouldn't be playing either.
Why can't I be the director?
Exactly. I'm as big a part of this three-man show as anybody.
Yeah, this is back to your point, Andy, about 20, 25 minutes ago. There are going to be some players that are in uniform today that won't play.
Right.
And as you pointed out, they probably won't be able to find their helmets.
Right.
They're not going to be on the field. And maybe Revis and...
although Brady would be able to find his, because he'll find Dan Famosi and he'll say, where's my helmet? And Dan Famosi is the guy that does a lot of the stuff on the sideline for the communication devices, and he'll have it.
Let's see here. Al, from Italy. Lots of babies in the Patriots Nation. About that, Andy, you're going to have a half-brother in the next months. I don't understand that. Big Al.
I like that.
Big Al, I respect... I expect more from you.
He's saying
Big
he's
Al.
Banging my wife.
Big Al, I expect more than that. You got to come out and do it like Christian does. Just
I
say
do think
it.
That, you know, you think about it.
He's,
Beetle,
saying, he's saying he's banging your mom.
Half brother. I see what he did there.
That's why I said be like
what
Christian.
What if my mother's listening? That is not appropriate.
Yeah, she now
listens. She listens now.
Woman's a saint.
Beetle did get gypped a little bit. Like, you think about it, and like the old joke, oh, well, at least we know you guys had sex three times, or how many kids you have. Well, he didn't. He got three kids and two bangs.
Two for one special.
Right.
Raymond is in Fort Bliss, Texas.
It's a happy place.
What's up, guys? Hope that all of the PPGS PFW crew, that's a lot of letters there, and the PFW elites had a great Christmas. The main things that I wanted to see today is some improvement with the offensive line's pass protection, and on the defensive side, tightening the coverage of opposing tight ends. Our margin of error shrinks against elite competition in the playoffs, and we just need to tighten up our shot group and end the regular season on a high note. Okay. Let's see. I want to wish all of PPGS, PFW crew, and the PFW elites a happy new year. Looking forward to another year of the greatest show on earth. Take care. Thank you, Raymond. That was very nice of you. I think that that was Andy's point about the offensive line and sort of seeing some improvement there. I think that lessens now if Brady's not going to be out there as part of it. And you're missing Vollmer. You're missing Conley. Yeah, I'd like to see Nate Solder play better
block
if he's out there no matter what. you're missing the guys on the other side as well. Darius isn't playing. I think is Kyle Williams not? Because he mentioned, Mike Rodak mentioned two defensive tackles, so maybe he knows that Kyle Williams isn't going to be playing either.
I think Big M's healthy.
Big M and
Phil Hughes.
He also had him as a candidate to, put the stamp on the top of the letter and send it via the mailbox and mail this one in. So I'm not sure how much you're going to get out of resistance from the other side today as well.
I got to tell you.
What do you got to tell me?
I'm going to pat myself on the back and you on the back right now.
Okay.
In a game that means nothing.
Yes.
Without our host.
Yes.
I think we've done anything but mail it in on this show. I think this has been a pretty damn good show.
No, I think we've done, you know.
Until you sabotaged it.
I didn't sabotage anything.
You did, right? When he
and at least I choose to sabotage things. Your ineptus is what usually sabotages us.
Ineptus?
Not today, though.
There was an N in there somewhere.
Donuts were on time.
They were.
Yes, that is true.
Still
don't
haven't
ever
brought me one of those cheesecake things.
Don't
though.
Ever make
good
fun of them.
Today?
Well, that was a layup.
I'm still wondering what the whole cheesecake thing is, because I went in today and asked again.
It's a square, and they have a chocolate and a vanilla version or something. And it's on, like, it says, like, special
but they,
or something.
Yeah, but they would be on the
fat guy who would know is shaking his head at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I looked through the whole case, and even, was that 2 weeks ago now? Or what, last week,
last
I
week.
Asked them about it and showed them the text message.
I wanted to try one. Although it's typical, Andy. I've heard they're not very good, but I just want to try one.
I was like, lady, you don't understand. You have to get me one of these things or I'm going to get yelled at.
Although it's also probably another one of those things that doesn't count towards your dozen donuts. It's probably like an upcharge or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, they want like $8.50 for that.
Easy. Easy.
We got
prices and participation may vary.
Yeah, limited time offer. We have about 20 minutes here in the show, and I want to throw something out and see if any of our listeners want to.
Billie Jean King on the sidelines with Robert Kraft and
Billie
another.
Billie Jean King? Really?
That's what it says on Twitter.
Wow.
And also want to say that Pete Frates is in the house, actually celebrating his birthday with Robert Kraft.
Now I see why Beatle wants to kill you. You could have waited like until I was done with that one sentence that I was in the middle of.
Well, the Billie Jean King thing just popped up on Twitter.
So you just had to spread it out.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Yeah, why don't you show up for a game once before you criticize me?
Just curious, Andy, and I'll throw it out to you, but I'm also, if you want to give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, now's a good time to do it. About 20 minutes to go in the show, 508-298-0398. There's some new guys that are going to be playing today, you know. Brian Timms might get some time. You can see a little bit more Tim Wright. You guys have been calling for these guys all season long. James White is active today.
You're such a douche. You guys have been calling for these guys all year long.
And at the very top of the list is Jimmy Garoppolo. I was actually being serious for one of the rare times of my career here. Defensively, you know, you probably see some more Malcolm Butler and maybe some guys like that. But there's not as much intrigue on defense because you're not necessarily looking. I think they already play, you know, 15, 16, 17 guys pretty regularly. But offensively, there's some skill position guys.
Did you mention James White?
Yeah. Okay. Which guy are you most curious to see today,
James
and does
White.
It matter to you,
James White.
You know, how they perform in a game that's sort of meaningful?
This certainly has the feel of a game for James White that I could live off of at least until next August as a reference point, either pro or con, based on what we saw from him in the summer and in the preseason. If he goes out today, shows some flashes, runs hopefully better than he ran in the preseason, or catches the ball, makes some plays, I could definitely see myself referencing James White's performance today a lot in the coming months. Because, I mean, fourth-round pick, we all thought he might have a chance to contribute as a rookie. That ship has sailed. But, you know, he's going to get some playing time today. We'll see what he can do.
You know who I like?
Boyce.
Boyce. Maybe he gets an opportunity
today.
Speaking
of ships that have sailed.
Yeah, I am not as high on Boyce as I was. I liked Boyce a lot more before training camp.
As the possibility of going down the formerly named Taylor Price way, which we could rename Aaron Dobson and Josh Boyce way. I'm worried.
Brandon Tate Boulevard.
I'm worried that White could go down that road, and maybe today I see a little something that goes, okay, you know, he's got a chance year two jump.
And you remember, it was a glimpse like that for Shane Vereen late in his rookie year that was sort of wasted by injury. I think it was a Kansas City Monday night game, Andy, which was here in Foxborough, the Tyler Palco game.
Yeah.
Shane Vereen showed some flashes in the second half, really, with his only extended playing time as a rookie, and he carried that to more periodic contributions moving forward. He just hasn't been able to do it consistently, although he has set a career high in receiving yards this season for the Patriots. But
were those foul balls?
I'd like to see Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, get
have the offense sort of look like it looks. You know, we always talk about when Ryan Mallett was in there, it doesn't look the same. And when Brian Hoyer was out there, Rohan Davey, you know, name the backup quarterback, it just never looked the same. Matt Castle. I'd like to see Garoppolo look like Castle did when he played, you know, in the 2008 season, in the regular season. Now, I wouldn't expect it to be all, you know, Castle had a pretty good year that year, all said and done. But I'd like to see the offense look like a semblance of the offense. You know, none of the, you know, those bad timing plays where just everything is off and you can see it in practice. I want to see very little of that today. I'd like to see Garoppolo look comfortable in the offense. And, you know, then we can get into your debate in the offseason when you say, is this Brady's last run here in Foxborough?
Keep an eye on that October trading deadline.
You know, what would you like to see in terms of, you know, a performance? You know, can he complete 60% of his passes?
Sure. He's at 90% right now, right? Isn't he 9 of 10 on the season?
Okay.
Numbers never lie.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, numbers don't lie, but sometimes they don't tell the whole truth either. Oh. Is that true or not?
I don't know.
I don't know why you have your jaw sticking out. Now would be a good time for you to talk a little bit.
Are you struggling over there?
When you don't have anything else to talk about, now would be a good time to talk.
Oh, well, I got plenty to talk about. What do you want me to talk about?
Yeah, what do they say on the Twitter machine?
They wished Andre Tippett a happy birthday on the Gillette Stadium big board. We got another guy who keeps asking me which Patriot jersey to get, Revis, Wilfork, Jones, or Hightower.
Revis, Wilfork, Jones, Hightower.
None. Big Vince? What if he's gone? I'd be scared to death to buy a Patriots jersey. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I would go with
Chandler.
Tough one. I would go with Jones probably, but that's a tough one because I could make a case for any and all of those guys to be gone.
Well, but you can also
within
make
a year.
Case
I think
for,
they'll probably all be back next like, year, but within a year.
If you're really confident they're going to win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't mind getting a Revis just for 1 year and say, you know, he won the Super Bowl that year. That's a good one to have. So I could sell myself on that.
It's very rare that you turn me like that. That's a great reason to get a shirt.
Okay, thanks.
If they were to win a Super Bowl this year, and Revis is obviously a huge part of that, greatness supersedes
right,
the rest.
Right.
And he's greatness. And everybody will always remember that even if he goes as a free agent,
right,
that year that Revis was in New England, and he transformed the defense. They won the Super Bowl.
You're on my same page, Paul Perillo.
I like that line of thinking.
Vince will always be a franchise legend, sort of along those same lines. You know, you're never going to look back and be, it's not going to, you know, be a 1 or 2 year, oh, that didn't work out. I mean, he's a Patriots Hall of Famer when his career ends. So I don't think you'd regret that one all that much. I think the one you might regret the most maybe would be Hightower, but he's had a nice year for himself.
He's had
and
a great
Mayo
year.
If Mayo leaves and Hightower stays, you might get another 5 years like that.
He's had a great year, but you almost wonder if he made himself, you know, too good and you end up not being able to re-sign him or whatever.
Correct.
Now, this is what, the third year for those two guys?
Correct.
So they're 5-year deals, I would assume?
Correct.
So, you know, you're probably all right for a couple of years with those two guys. Will Fork, I think, has at least one more year before you have to worry about him. But he made himself a lot of money this year with his performance.
As he promised, by the way.
He made some of the – he told me not to worry about it.
Yep.
When I asked him about it back in September, don't you worry about that, he said to me. And he came through. He had a good, solid season. So he'll be back, but his contract's going to be pretty big again because he made a lot of not-likely-to-be-earned incentives this
Correct.
Season.
He's also played very well over the last month plus.
He's played, you know, the run defense that we talked about in September, you know, we talked about how Gronkowski sort of took a while to get his legs under him, and, you know, all of a sudden in October he was a different guy. Maybe the same could be said for Vince, and maybe he was a different guy once he got a little bit of the rust knocked off of him from missing
yep.
basically the whole season. And certainly the run defense has been much better as of late than it was at the start. But, Andy, this is your favorite time of the show because it's when we go up to the press box and talk to our buddy Eric Scalavino.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the
boring.
Latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric,
what say you?
I sense a little tone of sarcasm in Paul's voice when he said his favorite part of the show.
It's Andy's favorite part of the show. It's not my favorite part of the show.
I always think you do a fine job, Eric, of bringing just a taste of the press box to the show. And that's why I'm going to ask you right off the bat a lot of questions about who's playing where, how, and what today. I see you tweeting a little bit about the O-line. Get us up to date on pregame warm-ups and how that may alter expectations for playing time for the Patriots.
Well, we're in the team period right now, Andy, 11-on-11. Offense and defense going at each other. And first thing, you know, you mentioned the offensive line. I think a lot of people were a little disappointed in the way Josh Klein performed last week in the first half against the Jets, and he ended up getting pulled. Well, he's back in the starting rotation, it looks like, at left guard in place of Dan Connolly again. And Marcus Cannon is getting the start, it looks like, at right tackle, where Sebastian Vollmer developed a back injury. A little bit, that's a little bit of a concern for me long-term. I don't know about you guys, but given his history with the back injuries, they're lucky they have a week off next weekend. At right cornerback, where Brandon Browner is not playing today, Logan Ryan, I think that'll be a cause for concern for a lot of Patriots fans who haven't been happy with the way he's performed this year. But he was getting the start at the place where Browner usually is. And saw some Brian Timms getting some run with the first team there in warm-ups.
Eric, what do you make of, I saw Scott Zolak led the way of talking about that Tom Brady didn't have a wristband play sheet on or a glove on. Are we going to see Brady take some snaps today or not?
You know, I would probably say, yeah, like maybe the first series or two, just so that they can say that he started. But I would say you're probably going to see more of Garoppolo than him today. That would be my expectation anyway, especially with the way the offensive line is constituted and the fact that they're giving Rob Gronkowski the day off. I don't think we're going to see much of Brady at all.
How about Darrell Revis? Same sort of snap count, you think, for him?
Yeah, I would probably say so. You know, I would venture to say if this were a playoff game, you'd probably be seeing Brandon Browner play. But I think the fact that they are giving him basically a day of rest, Dante Hightower, same thing, maybe just because of numbers, they had to put Revis out there. So I wouldn't expect it to be too long for this game either.
Aside from the obvious answer of James Devlin, which of the players that don't play quite as much are you most looking forward to seeing today? And, you know, a lot of candidates, I think, are on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe we have some James White, some of the receivers you talked about. Who are you looking forward to get a taste of today?
Well, I think I kind of want to see Garoppolo just because I was happy with the way he progressed in training camp, from the way he started out camp practices and the way he progressed from preseason game to preseason game. I liked the upward mobility that he was showing. That learning curve was a pretty steep one. I want to see how much of a difference it's made for him going these last 16, 17 weeks of regular season practices and getting a lot of scout team reps. So I'm curious to see about him on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler have gotten burned. Let's just put it the way it is. They've gotten burned quite a bit this year, and they're probably going to see a lot of time today. I just want to see if they have anything left to think as far as, you know, big playability, being able to just step up when they get the opportunity.
And I'm noticing some celebrities on the sideline via the Twitter machine. Mm-hmm. Are you very excited to see Billie Jean King?
I'm glad somebody pointed that out, because if I had seen her, I probably wouldn't have known that that's who that was. So
how's she look? Hot?
Sure.
She's not a handsome woman.
Maybe to some.
That's funny, though. I mean, it's just sort of a random name. Like, if you had said, which celebrity is going to show up for the Patriots season finale?
Absolutely.
I could have rifled through literally thousands before I got to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would never have even been on my radar screen.
Before we let you go, Eric, what's the hubbub in the press box, or is there any, regarding this extension for Nick Caserio that Adam Schefter reported? And, you know, some people have said, oh, well, you know, you locked him up, he can't go anywhere. And, you know, Tom Curran speculated maybe this is the clear end of the Bill Belichick era in 2020. You know, that'll be Caserio. I have no idea. But what's the hubbub or anything you're hearing about this contract and what it means?
I think so. Most people were a little bit surprised at the length of it, and I think because they figured, you know, he was a rumored hot candidate for other jobs around the league. He obviously interviewed with Miami last year, I think the first reaction for some people is it was so long, there has to be an out in there somewhere for him, whether or not he gets a better position somewhere else or it gets a title somewhere else. Maybe the new deal doesn't include the actual general manager's title here, or maybe it does. We don't know the details of it yet. But the initial reaction from people I was talking to here was that they think there has to be an out for him because it just seems to be too long a deal for somebody in his position. But I think that what you said makes sense. You know, maybe it's getting him through the end of the Brady Belichick era. And as we know, Bill has said many times, he's not going to coach into his 70s like Marv Levy. And when does he turn 70? 2022, I believe.
You're really going to hold him to that, huh?
I am.
Eric actually has one of those clocks that says 6 years, 42 hours.
He's counted down. It's like NFL Network Thursday Night Football.
But actually, it's a good thing that that report came out because otherwise there was absolutely no energy in this press box.
I even heard the food's not that good today.
It wasn't earlier, but
did you really hear that
down there yet for the second half?
Hey, how are things in the PFW suite? You're all by yourself up there.
Lonely. I am. Yeah. Fred is under the weather today, and he made a good go. He was a game time decision, and we were forced to deactivate.
Yeah, one of the first and only times you ever listened to Andy and I. We told him to go home.
Can you confirm reports that he pooped his pants?
I cannot. I never go and check down there. That's usually Paul's department.
Brian Stork-like.
I do. That is my department. Eric, one of your departments generally every week is the weather. Has the rain, disappeared?
Yeah, actually, when they were taking the tarp off.
Top.
Easy. Picard.
Yeah, a little Freudian there with the top off. The sun actually came out when they were removing the tarp from the field, but it has since gone overcast again. I don't think it's threatening any more precipitation, but I think it's going to be a dry afternoon.
All right, Eric. I'm looking for a wet night tonight when I get home, have a couple beers, but it will be a dry afternoon. You're right. Not allowed to drink on the job.
Unbelievable.
It's about the only thing that would make this game more exciting, but we'll be up in a little bit and save us some
bacon. Don't
be
afraid to spread out and give us some room.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll live.
All right, see you in a few. That's Eric Scalavino up in the press box. So definitely some new names to watch today. Different names. Not new names, but different names in the starting lineup. Might give us some intrigue here. I don't know. More so than a preseason game would, for sure.
Sure.
But I kind of look at it, Andy. I don't know how you feel about it. It's kind of similar to a preseason game in that, you know, a great performance or a poor performance doesn't necessarily resonate that much with me because of the situation in the game. You know, I just don't think there's going to be a ton of intensity on Buffalo's side here. And if the Patriots go out and play great, I would rather see them play well. I'd rather see Jimmy Garoppolo go out and, as I said, conduct the offense the way it looks when Brady runs it. But I'm not going to be overly upset if it doesn't happen.
Update via Twitter, Doug Kayed telling us that Brady has indeed put a glove on his left hand.
Saw that.
Now, the question is this one of those Bill thinks of everything and told Tom, no play sheet today. What if it ever just disappears and you can't find it during a game? You might have to go without it.
No, I think that's a nice Andy-ism. But,
or we're going to run plays 1, 2, and 3, so you don't need to know those.
I think there's a chance that he plays very briefly, like Eric said, but I think this is going to be a Jimmy day. So Dan Roach, our buddy, our colleague from the preseason games.
Very excited. You know who's going to be disappointed is our friend Mike Giardi, who is as big a Jimmy fan as ever, and he won't get to be in person with Jimmy today.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate for him because nobody has championed the cause of Jimmy Garoppolo quite like Mike Giardi. We go all the way back to week 4 when he asked the infamous question that has resonated throughout the National Football League. Is quarterback position being evaluated?
It is today, by the way. Certainly going to be, right? There's an evaluation of the development of young Jimmy Garoppolo.
And it's like I said, I would like to see him play well. And I mean, you know, it's like Trent Dilfer says, you know, it's better to win than lose. It's better to play well than not. I just don't want to make any grandiose observations based on what I deem to be a rather meaningless game.
That's what we do, though.
I know, but you know, I could see him throwing for like 350 yards, and everybody, they're stacked for
Trade
the future,
Brady.
You know? I mean, that's not necessarily the case. But, you know, I think we've exhausted about all we can do with with the Mark the Beetle Bertrand less Patriot pregame social.
I thought we did a fine job. I'm not going to lie to you.
I do, and it really hurts that we can't really dig into any matchups or anything and talk about what we normally talk about every week on
the
show.
I like the Eric Wood versus Vince Wilfork matchup.
Okay.
That's a good one. Good veterans.
Those five snaps that they go
at
and go against each other.
Exactly. I don't know. Vince has got to play to get his money.
That's going to be a story within the story.
Yeah, moving finish line. All of a sudden, the Bills are on the field a lot on offense, moving the ball, piling up the defensive snaps for the Patriots. Wilfork goes below the threshold, has to go back above the threshold.
All right, but you guys know, because you listen to us every week, Andy and I, we're only half done with our job today. That's going to wrap it up for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, but we will be back immediately following the game. Andy and I will take you through the Xbox One postgame show right here in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. I want to thank everybody for hanging in today. Hosting is not my favorite chore, so I hope I didn't hang up on anybody prematurely.
You were actually very good at it. I need to be in all seriousness. From when we used to have to do this by ourselves, whatever that was 3 years ago.
Now we want to go.
You're much better.
And now you decide to pay me a compliment.
Okay, screw you.
Shut
you
your
sucked.
Fat mouth. All right, Andy and I will be back.
James Devlin touchdown today, by the way.
I'm going to go with 3 hours and 2 minutes. We'll be back.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Patriots wrap up the 2014 regular season at home against the Buffalo Bills.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter, Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.